This is the Anderson Files on Podclips. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President and Registered Investment Advisor of the Warner Companies, a Foundation Risk Partners Warburg Pincus company. The Warner Companies is a registered investment advisor with securities offered through M Holdings Security Incorporated, member of FINRA and SIPC. And now your host, friend and colleague, Mike Anderson.
Hiring in the midst of the great resignation and post-COVID period. My guest today is Marcia Watson Wasserman, founder and president of Comprehensive Management Solutions, Inc., which provides chief operating officer to go law practice management consulting and coaching services to boutique and mid-sized law firms and their managing partners. Marcia is a co-author of the recently published Law Office Policies, Procedures, and Operations Manual, 7th edition. She is columns editor of the American Bar Association's Law Practice Division's Law Practice Magazine and a member of its magazine publications and lawyer leadership and management boards. Marcia, welcome.
Happy to be here today.
Great. To get started, why are we experiencing a great resignation as it's come to be known? And what sort of financial impact is it causing for companies?
I would say that the catalyst for the great resignation was the pandemic. People were working remotely, reevaluating their lives. In some cases, they lost their jobs because of the pandemic. And so people are doing a big reset in their lives, and as to what's important to them and what isn't important to them. It's had a huge financial impact on business. Because if you have an employee who decides this is not the place for me, the cost to replace that individual is easily 150% of what their compensation is, if not higher, particularly now when it's so difficult to find people to replace people who leave.
You know, one thing that I've noticed with private clients and companies that I work with as an investment advisor is individuals who were near retirement age, they've done well in the markets over the last decade, their real estate is appreciated, they've done well with their business, but it was hit by the pandemic hard. And it was kind of a reason to say, you know what, I think I'm just going to retire. And they were the fuel behind a company. And yeah, granted, that they may have sold the company or given it to the employees, but I'm starting to see more. I've seen more and more of that. Have you seen that as well?
I'm seeing it in the industry, the legal space that I work in. There's a lot more talk about succession planning, about potential mergers. A few people that I didn't expect to retire suddenly decided that hanging with their grandkids made more sense than practicing law. And so, yes, I'm seeing it too.
And why and how does company culture impact employee satisfaction and turnover?
I want to quote a law firm futurist. His name is Jordan Furlong. And Jordan says, culture is what people at the firm actually do every day. In harsher terms, it's what people get away with. Culture is what actually happens. I really love that definition of culture because particularly now, communication is key. And for employees, when people have been working remotely, if you don't do check-ins on Zoom or Slack or stay as close as possible and do fun things, even if it's everybody bring their dog day to Zoom or to the office if you're back in the office. Culture really has an impact, and a positive culture impacts clients. It impacts employee satisfaction. And the best firms that I've been watching have really done a great job at caring about their people, doing special things for them, keeping that glue, that cultural glue that held them together, making it in many cases even stronger.
Yeah, I can see that. And I've also, especially here in Southern California, the law firms that I provide services to, investment advisory services, yeah, I've seen some say, you know what, we can't work remotely. We you know, we are on site, you know, we're in the courtroom, you know, we prep and depositions and, you know, everything's live, you know, and we can't function any other way. And I've also seen those firms then in being forced to, it kind of absolutely compelled to a certain degree and to some extent, a large degree, and they've done it and maintaining their culture along the way. So it's interesting where, yeah, we just cannot do this to, you know what, we can do this and we can do it well.
And I've also seen the knee-jerk reaction of the ones who say we can't, who insisted everyone come back to the office and be there. True, they made exceptions if they had childcare issues, health issues, but the firms that forced people back early on in the pandemic have lost attorneys, have lost staff, and are having a really hard time replacing them.
I'm curious, how has the recruiting out of law schools, has that been difficult as well? Has that changed?
I'm seeing, at least in the market that I work with, which is small to mid-sized firms, a lot of them that weren't hiring people straight out of law school are now starting to have law clerk programs again to get them when they first get out of school and to train them the way they want and try to bring them into the culture at an early point, in large part because they can't find 3-year, 5-year, 8-year lawyers when somebody leaves them. And the big firms are raiding the small and mid-sized firms and offering to pay off student loans, offering another $50,000 a year, sometimes $100,000 a year more than they were making. And it's a very interesting marketplace.
Yeah, with those kind of numbers, sign me up, okay? I'm a quick study. What types of benefits do employees want now?
They want personal time off. They want flex hours. They want a say in when and how they work. Health benefits. I mentioned tuition reimbursement, continuing ed. They want pet-friendly environments. People have gotten used to having their animals around them. I've even heard of companies that are paying for pet insurance for their employees. And childcare, signing bonuses, referral bonuses, extra vacation, paid family leave. The Society for Human Resources Management did a survey recently that said 44% of employees want to work remotely full time, yet 16% of employers plan to continue with full time remote work. So there's a disconnect there.
Yeah, and it sounds as though the priority towards day-to-day life, as opposed to, you know, a dozen hours a day, you know, at the firm, and granted, you know, we all need to get the work done. There's no question about that, but how it's done and with more consideration to lifestyle is really gaining a priority.
And one of the reasons that people want flexibility and want the opportunity to have a hybrid workplace is, particularly in large metropolitan areas like we live in Los Angeles, is the commute time. And, you know, people don't want to get in the car and drive 2 hours a day or longer than 2 hours a day. get to and from work and they can be more productive on their own timetable.
Yeah, I had a conversation yesterday with a participant in a company 401k, someone that I've known for years, with a company that I've worked for years, and a manufacturer. They were hit hard by the pandemic, especially the need to, they manufacture heavy equipment and all the changes that they had to make in order to have people on site to make what they make. Very difficult to adjust. But the administration side of the business basically worked remotely, and they're starting to come back in stages so many days a week. And another factor that got thrown into the mix here recently, the price of gas. So, you know, as we know, here in Southern California, let alone the state of California, highest prices for a gallon of gas we've ever seen. So, you know, we have the firm is now adjusting again to accommodate kind of taking a step back for more hours out of the house working, because not just because of the pandemic, but because of the price of gas here in California, that has risen high enough to be a consideration, and then to further adjust. It's amazing.
What I'm hearing in law firms, because I've had this conversation at my managing partner roundtable, they're talking about giving gas allowances to the attorneys and staff to accommodate whenever they do want them to come into the office.
Hiring and the Great Resignation. I'm chatting today with Marcia Wasserman. This is the Anderson Files on podclips.io.
The Anderson Files is a proud advocate for the Small Business Council of America. For decades, the SBCA has been the voice for U.S. small business on the Hill and to the administration, successfully pursuing favorable tax, benefits, and estate legislation. To learn more and to become a member or sponsor, go to www.sbca.net.
Marcia, to continue, how should companies review and assess current and potential policies and procedures post-pandemic to ensure that they really are aligned with the culture and the mission that they've built up and are trying to maintain and nurture?
You have to fundamentally start with culture. Culture is the foundation for everything. So the tone of your policies and your procedures are reflective of the type of company you are and who you are and who you know, what your brand is and what you want people to know you to be. And a lot of policies came into play because there were governmental regulations due to the pandemic. So companies had to put in specific policies on health and safety and a variety of other things. And as those things go away, people are taking a fresh look at everything. And part of that, we've already had a little bit of discussion about the hybrid workplace. They're looking at their space, and they're looking at hoteling and industries like legal that would never have done it ever before. So you have to kind of figure out, okay, never mind, let's not look back at what our business was pre-pandemic. Who are we now and what do we want to be? You know, what is aspirational for us? And that's what the policies should reflect. If you want employees to be motivated and happy, throw in those benefits in your policies. Make life easier for people. Have fun policies. Have a fun committee. Support what it is that you want your company to be, not put it back where it was previously. And you know, there are certain things that have to be formal. There are legal requirements about leaves of absence and anti-discrimination and other things. Those need to be formal, but everything above and beyond that, you can tailor to your own unique environment. The book that I just co-authored, it includes an employee handbook of policies and procedures in it for lawyers, and they can download get a copy of it and make it their own, basically. So we give them the format for it, and they can adjust it for their own environment.
Marcia, are you seeing with companies that you interact with through the pandemic, overall, would you say that you're seeing that individuals are working, have ended up working more hours, more productive hours, because they're not commuting that 1 to 2 hours on the freeway, on the road? Are you finding that the hours actually working has gone up?
It all depends on what is going on in their life. If they are also homeschooling kids or dealing with other types of issues at home, not necessarily. If they're young and they have roommates and they get distracted easily, not so much. I find two types of people that have wanted to go into the office because they say that they're much more productive in the office. Young attorneys who say they've got roommates or they've got this small apartment and they can't focus, and otherwise they're out walking their dog instead of doing work, so they have to go to a place to work. And then I'm also seeing the close to retirement baby boomers who work is their life and working in the office is what they're accustomed to, and they just won't do it at home. So some people have continued to go into the office, and others are able to be more productive. They can tailor their workday around their life. And if they have kids that they're working with, that they're helping, feeding, then they can get back on the computer later and work from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. if it suits them, and they can start their day later or do whatever they want. So for some people, it's been an amazing opportunity. And for others, they get depressed and aren't very motivated. And some of it depends on, are you an extrovert? Are you an introvert? And how do you work? And are you a good person for telecommuting? There are a lot of questions you can ask as to whether you're a good candidate. You may have been forced into it, but it may not be the right answer for some people, where other people, depending on the kind of work they do, thrive on it.
How to hire in the midst of the Great Resignation. Guest Marcia Wasserman tells us how. This is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Marcia, to continue, What's the importance of an updated job description now when hiring new employees, and what should it include?
Well, job descriptions are really key, and companies tend to go on and on and on about all the specific requirements, and the job descriptions are very boring that they post on job boards. You need to make it compelling and tell a story about your business, share something about your culture that makes somebody go, wow, I'd really like to work there. And again, make it relevant to the company you want to be, not what you were. So if you're going to allow hybrid work for various categories of people, make sure you think about it. Make sure you think about what specific job duties need to be accomplished. Make sure that you are inclusive in the job descriptions, that you use gender neutral language that includes older workers, et cetera, et cetera. There are 25 million jobs right now on Indeed.com. So don't be generic. Sell your firm, sell your business in the ads that you run and in the job descriptions. Make them enticing enough that, given how many opportunities there are for people, that someone would go, I'm really interested in interviewing there.
And in the post-pandemic period, an interview, what does that look like now?
I recently read a book, Leading at a Distance, that was written by Spencer Stuart Consultants during the pandemic. And they were talking about the fact that when they were interviewing for a CEO for a company, that it was so much easier to do it using video conferencing, that it was less expensive to the company, that you could get everybody who needed to interview on the screen at the same time, that you carefully crafted the job description of what you were looking for and asked questions that were relevant to really find out whether that candidate would be a good fit culturally and experientially for the position, and doing it through Zoom. And sometimes when you have in-person interviews, there's a sense of chemistry where you, God, I really like that person. And you sometimes make a mistake. The fact that you might be good buddies doesn't mean you're necessarily the right fit as a hire for somebody. So they said that when you take that emotion out of it and you really focus on the job description and the kind of person that you need to fill that job, that doing it by video was more productive and less expensive for the company and easier on the candidates too.
In the past, you've talked about stay interviews. Tell us about stay interviews and why you should do them. And first, what is that?
Well, we hear about exit interviews when people are leaving. A stay interview is when you reach out to your best people who you want to stay because you don't want them out looking for another opportunity, and you find out what's important to them. A good time to do it is when you're doing an annual review and you have them do a development plan and have a whole conversation with them and make it a positive conversation about what they want to learn and how the company can support them, and talk to them all about where they see themselves and, you know, what makes for a great day and how can the company support their goals. And you learn a lot. You may even learn more than you do from exit interviews. Plus, the more you communicate with your best people, the happier they're going to be.
I see. And what lessons have you learned as a professional in this area that you've learned from the Great Resignation?
Communication is important. Just communicate, particularly when people were working virtually. It's easy for everybody to get into their own little silo, do what they need to do, and forget about the human quality of reaching out to one another. So communication. And you need to be as flexible as possible as a business owner, as a leader, as manager of a business. But family time is important too. So don't overlook that. People have realized that life is short. Life is precious, and it isn't all about working 24/7. And again, work on your company culture to retain people, let them know they matter, and tell them often how important they are. Also, pay equity is important. You don't want to be bringing new people in at more money than the people who are your best employees, which sometimes is a mistake that companies make. So watch out for pay equity. And diversity. The more diverse your workplace, the better it's going to be, the more successful it's going to be.
And Marcia, where can listeners find your new book, your newly published book?
It can be found at the American Bar Association online bookstore, and it can also be purchased on Amazon.
Great. And for listeners to learn more, what's the easiest way to reach you?
Easiest way to reach me is they can either go to my website, my company's Comprehensive Management Solutions, so it's comprehensivemgmt.com, or they can email me at mwasserman@comprehensivemgmt.com.
Great. Thanks, Marcia. This has been very enlightening for our listeners, and we'll see how hiring and the whole employment issue coming and moving through this Great Resignation pans out over the next many months now and the next couple of years.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Marcia. Thank you, Mark Allen, who is not only our producer today, but our recording engineer. So big thank you, Mark. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io, powered by InfoGen Labs, Inc. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to the Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclips.io and check on the financial channel for more episodes and information on the Anderson Files.